Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. I'm joined today by Robert, and we're going to be talking about stepping into the person that you want to be, in turn, getting out of your own way and creating a life that you're happy to be living. All things to be successful. But first of all, thank you so much for coming on today, man. I appreciate you making the time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sure. No, it's awesome.
Thank you for having me so much.
It's awesome. So, first, I know a little bit about you. Obviously, you're married to Bryn. I had Bryn on recently. Maybe we talked a little bit about your coaching business. But for those people that don't know you, let's hear a little bit of some backstory as to what got you into coaching, when you got into coaching, and everything.
Yeah, so I got into, let's backstory a little bit. Like, I started getting into fitness when I was about 16. I was a super scrawny kid, you know, just trying to get a little bit of muscle on me. I actually almost didn't make the grade 10 soccer team, which is all I was doing then. It was soccer, but I almost didn't make the team because I was too fucking fragile. Like, I was just too small. Yeah. I was just getting pushed around. And then when I was told that, I was like, man, I can't be doing that. What am I doing over here? So I started lifting. I started working out. I started going to this class that we had in high school called sports performance, where you literally work out and get marks. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to join this class. So I did that class in grade 10, 11, and 12. And then in grade 12, the coach that we had actually had me participate in program construction for the other students because I was doing so good. So that kind of opened the door for me a little bit. It's like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, I'm creating these programs for people. My teacher was also teaching me how to do this stuff. So it really started even before high school ended. And then I just didn't know what to do exactly with my life. You know, we have you finish high school, you're like, oh, do I go here? Do I go there? Do I do that? There's so many possibilities. And honestly, I just truly just went in with the thing that I was passionate about. And I found that I was lucky to find that pretty early on. And I went just all in with that. So I got hired by Good Life when I was 18. Super, super young. Like, they usually don't hire people this young, but I got hired by them, and then it just kind of took off. But the real reason why I started coaching is because I really noticed how much difference it truly made in my life, and not just physical, but also mental. And I got to the point where I wasn't even learning this stuff because I wanted to teach other people. I was learning this stuff because I knew it was going to help me. And then in return, taking all that information, and I really wanted to share with the world. Because I had my own visions, I had my own way of doing things. And then it just kept evolving and it kept evolving. I got a lot of good feedback from old clients. Like I was 18 years old. My first session, I was scared to shit because I was like, man, I'm training somebody that's 45. I'm 18. And they're like, oh, how old are you? You must be in your 30s. I'm like, I'm actually just 18. And they'd be like, whoa, what? So that just kind of reinforced it a little bit for me. It just kept growing from there. Like, the passion just kept building and building. The more success I could bring to other people, the more success I felt as well. So it was just one on top of another kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I'll speak on a couple of those things there. I think, first of all, it's nice that you were able to find something that you were passionate about from a young age. I feel like a lot of people don't have that right off the gate, and they have a little bit of like a weird period in life where they're trying to figure out who they are, what their values are, and what really like resonates with them as a person. So I feel like it's cool for you that you were able to just find something relatively quick, and you're able to be like, hey, you know what, this is for me, this is what I want to do. And I also worked at a Good Life too, but a Good Life, it was actually here in Edmonton, and good and bad things to say about the whole experience, obviously, as I'm sure it's same for you. Yeah.
100%.
Huge learning opportunity. I think I learned a lot. It made me a good coach. And I think every new trainer should kind of go through that rite of passage of working in a commercial gym.
I 100% agree.
Because I do think that people come out of it too quick. Yeah.
It just depends, really. Like, it depends who you work for. Like, I was fortunate enough to work for somebody like my manager, that I had a Good Life. She was a hard ass, but in a really good way. Like, I was lucky to have her as a manager because she focused so much on education. Like, once a week, we used to meet with like all the coaches, and then she would have high level coaches like do teaching on something. Like, doesn't matter what it was, like fascial stretch or whatever the case it was. So she really put a lot of work into teaching the trainers. And then I've also worked for people that they're like, do whatever you want. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. So there was definitely a lot of good. Like that's what really set it in stone for me, as much as like, good life, you know, it's not a great, you're working for corporate, but they do still have decent trainings for their trainers. And they just like, because I spent about 2 years with them. And then after 2 years, that even solidified everything even more, because I learned so much working there with the people that I was working with. So there's, like you said, there's good and bad. Obviously, you know, you're working for no money, so that's not fun. that's the hard part, right? So, but other than that, it was a good experience. But I do believe that everyone should, every coach, if you go to school, I truly believe that you should spend some time on the floor. You need to spend some time with people and actually see how they're moving, understand. Because you probably know we live in a world where everyone is a coach now, but not a lot of people want to spend the hours in the gym actually physically seeing a person move. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think in a space where the online market is so popular now, and especially because it has become so popular as time has progressed, a lot of people come out of school or they immediately get certified, whatever means they went through, and they immediately jump to online. And I think a lot of the issues within that is people lack the confidence and the know-how because they haven't had that in-person training before. And also too, like, you learn a lot in your first year. Like if you're like, you come out of school thinking you're hot shit, thinking you know everything about everything, and quickly you get showed where you're actually at and you get told 100%. That you don't know anything, you know nothing. And then as soon as you realize that, you're like much better off. And
100%.
That's why I think like what you mentioned, it's so important to have some time in the trenches and kind of like actually like work in person, see how people move. Because if you can see people move in person, it's going to make you like that much better of an online coach, because 100%. It's super hard to analyze movement as is, let alone in an online space where
from a video.
Let alone from like a video where you can't really see them move. You have to learn how to properly like give somebody cues and how to communicate and everything. And like, I think the in-person component of it is like super important. And also too, I think the last thing about Good Life is it makes you really realize if you're in the right field.
Right.
It's because tough. It is tough. So I think it's kind of like a sink or swim kind of thing for a lot of people, right? Like you said, for the first while, you're making like no money. You're there like all day. You're trying to fill a roster likely of clients that you kind of half like, kind of half don't like, but they're paying your bills. So you're like, okay, whatever. And you get show right away. Okay, am I in the right field or am I not? And then if you stay, you're staying for the right reasons.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really cool, and I think it's super essential for a lot of people. But for yourself, then, so I know right now you guys do like mainly online, and I know that you and I had a little bit of that in the pregame too. So and you mentioned you do a little bit of in person now, but not as much. Did you do? Did you go straight from your Good Life to online, or did you do some in person first? What did you do?
No, yeah. So there was a gap in between there. So after I quit Good Life, that's I hit another crisis because it just didn't end with a good experience. And even though it was like it was good to start with, it just ended quite bad. And then after that, I was like, man, I still don't know what to do with my life. Like this didn't feel like it was the right thing, even though I was like I was still very passionate about it. I tried to do it on my own a little bit to go straight into online, and that failed pretty bad, just because I just didn't have the right tools and all the other stuff. And then by chance, somebody messaged me on that knew me from Good Life that they just opened up a gym, and they want me to work for them in a private gym, and that's where I really expanded on my skills. Even though it wasn't the best workplace, I was able to really expand on my knowledge and really like test out things that, you know, ideas that I had when it comes to training ideologies and all that stuff. Because I was the first, basically not the first, I think I was the second trainer that they ever hired, and I was doing good. And yeah, it's just I got hired by, honestly, just it just happened. It was, I wasn't even looking for the job, but it was just kind of laid out for me. So I was like, I have to say yes to opportunities, especially things like that, because I was like, even though I started going away from training, something was still pulling me back, just like that one person showing up and be like, yo, come work for me. So I spent 5-6 years there.
I spent six years there.
Yeah, I spent years there. I've worked, I think I've worked with over, I was calculating like about 500 people came and see me over the course of 6 years. I was doing about 260 sessions a month in person, which is a crazy, crazy amount. But that's when I started making real money.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, okay, this is kind of cool. But then something happened and I really realized my worth after that. It takes a while to realize your worth. Yeah. So that's what kind of really opened the doors to creating what my wife and I created today, is realizing that you truly have potential. It's just stepping in into that potential. It's really hard to do, and it takes some
huge hard title work of episode.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. But yeah, no, it takes a little bit of not so great times. It takes a little bit of hardship. It takes a little bit of waking up at 4:30 in the morning and just, like you said, going in the trenches to really figure out what you're worth, so you can actually start working towards that. Because yeah, cool. I was making $8,000 a month or something like that, working as an in-person coach, which is insane amount of money working for somebody else. But then I was like, wait a second, if I'm doing this now, what would I be able to do if I was doing this on my own? So just started sparking questions, and then just everything evolved. And I was sitting down on a couch, because we used to work so fucking much, like 6 a.m. double sessions. So two individual people, different programs. So you run one person, then you go to the other person, then you go to from 6 a.m. till noon, and then from 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. every single day, Monday to Friday. And then I was sitting at home at lunchtime, because I used to come home and when lunch came, I got home and just passed out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I probably just crash.
Oh yeah, I couldn't stay awake, man. I couldn't stay awake. So then I woke up and I was like, what the fuck am I doing over here, man? So then I picked up my phone, messaged a business coach that I knew from a long time ago, signed up, and then I went in all in after that, because I was like, I can't be, this is not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
Yeah. No, that to quickly kind of talk on that first though, I do believe that in today's society, I'm trying to word this in a sense that's not super, super cruel or harsh.
Right.
I think people just don't do enough hard things. Mm-mm. I think we're in a society where people live their life very securely. They embrace complacency, and they don't step outside of their comfort zone. And in turn, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, not stepping into their potential, but it's all fear-based. And yes. I think every good coach, or just anybody in general, has to have a period where they're doing something that they don't want to be doing for a prolonged period of time, because it really instills how badly you want to like get out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think for you, like working 260 billable hours a month, like that's like crazy. But obviously, like that work ethic has allowed you to move forward and create what you've created with your wife. And like, 100%, I think like that 100%. That's important.
Yeah. No, if it wasn't for that, obviously there's lots of things that built up to where I'm at today. But if it wasn't for that, I don't think I would have ever taken the initiative to actually start getting on my own 2 feet and just do my own thing. Because it was like you said, that's what really showed me my potential, even though I wasn't getting compensated the way that I deserve to be compensated. It opened up the door, but it did come with wake up at 4:30 every morning, get home at 8:30 every night, repeat. For 5-6 years, a long time, man. It was a long time.
No, I admire that. And I was gonna ask you actually how long you've been coaching for, because you said that you've been doing that. You did that for 6 years. You mentioned Good Life for two. So you got to be coming up on like a decade of coaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just under 10 years of coaching right now.
Okay. So how old are you?
Yeah. No.
28.
I'm 28. Yeah. I'm 28. Yeah. I started when I was 18. Yeah. So this August will be 10 years of coaching.
Wow. That's no small feat, man.
That is pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Cause I don't really pay attention to that, cause time just flies by. And then I started looking back as I was scrolling to my phone and I saw a picture of me in my those awkward ass Good Life t-shirts.
I love those.
Just super tight and sweaty. But it was just like, I was looking at a picture and I was like, holy shit, I was 18 here. And then I'm like, whoa, I've been a coach for almost 10 years. What the fuck?
Yeah. You fucking ate that guy.
But
I remember those pictures too, where you have to like find a spot by the cardio equipment and like cross your arms and be like, and then they have some like stupid motivational thing above you, and you're just like,
yep,
you're like,
yeah, that's so bad.
My goal or my vision for my thing here is to, no shade, it's just such an awkward, forced thing that everybody had to do, and it wasn't like you wanted to do it. It was like, it was required, and you could tell. Yeah. It was like grad pictures. I was like, oh god, this is so
like grad pictures, exactly. No, but yeah,
it's really cool, and like for me, I find that fascinating because just now, obviously, it's so interesting, like living in today's society where a lot of people don't want to do things they need to do. And I think we'll kind of segue this into the self-worth thing. And you mentioned it's worth before. And I think a lot of people don't understand what worth is, or they don't understand what they are worth. So for you, when was like a pinnacle moment for yourself when you realized that you had self-worth issues? And how did you go about trying to improve that? Because for a lot of people, that's like an endless pursuit, man. That's challenging.
Yeah. So like I said, it's just like, it really like working those hours and just like working with so many people. And it was the type of people that I was working to, because I was very, very fortunate to work with some, especially at this private gym, I was able to meet some quite incredible people, like really high achieving people that really have made some really good lives for themselves. And then that kind of really showed me that, because those people were also getting other people to come to work with me, other, you know, well-off people to come here, other people, friends. So everyone was pouring in. And I asked one of my clients, and he just said, man, it's just your personality, the way you teach everything, it just everything fits the way it's supposed to fit when it comes to a trainer. And then that positive feedback that I kept getting from my clients that I had when I was working at the private gym just really solidified everything for me and opened up those gates to like, what if? It opened the question, what if, right? So I was like, what if I do this? What if? But a lot of times when people ask the what if, I find that they're always asking, what if the bad thing happens? But we never ask, what if the good thing happens? What if something really good happens? Because everyone's like, oh, what if I crash my car on the way to work? What if this? What if that? What if something always bad? But what if just the good thing happens? What if then? And you're like, you're thinking about it, it's like, oh my God. Yeah, what if it happens? So then that's kind of also, I just started asking questions. I just asking myself a little bit, just like, yo, what if you do this? What if you go on your own and everything works well? And everything is good. So it's just really changing my negative mindset as well about that fear of, you know, always asking the what if the bad thing happens, to changing the what if the good thing happens, also really, really helped me open up my eyes a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like, it's just challenging your own narratives and your own beliefs, right? Because I feel like a lot of people, when, like you said, they resort to the hypotheticals and they resort to something already failing before it even begins.
Exactly.
That's impossible because you haven't started yet.
So you're just creating this false reality in your head that doesn't even exist. So it's like you said, it's based on fear. That's all it is based on fear. But so going back to that, it's like the reason that surrounding, you know, even if there was just clients, I was surrounded by very, very, very successful people the whole time, the whole 6 years, all the successful people were around me. And I was hearing stories like, this guy did that. This guy did that. This guy did that. Built this crazy company. This guy built this empire. Now I was flying private jets or whatever. One of, like, I used to train the president of Morrison Holmes. which in the first 2 years that he worked for the company that he's president at, he worked with zero pay for the first 2 years. And like,
dude,
there we go. Yeah. So he worked for zero pay for the first 2 years. And then now he's the president of a multi-billion dollar company. And I hear stuff like that. And I was like, okay, so, you know, success, you don't just wake up over there. You have to go through the hardship. You have to go through the trenches. You have to do the hard stuff in order for you to see what you're actually made out of and what your potential can be. So dude, that really, really helped me just surrounding myself with those people. And I didn't even know in the first 3-4 years, I had no idea what these people were. But then eventually with time, because I've had the same clients, dude, at this place that I worked at, I've had the same clients for 6 years straight. Like the same exact people for 6 years straight. Maybe like one or two switch, one came back, one left and stuff like that. But I've worked with the same people for 6 years and I was like, what am I doing? What's happening over here? So then I started questioning even more. I started surveying my clients a little bit. Why are you here? I asked them, why are you still coming back? And then they gave me the reason, this, and this, just so I can really create that strong foundation in my mind and really try to change my mindset from that negative perspective to seeing what's actually possible. But
yeah,
it was surrounding yourself with people definitely helps.
Yeah, I feel like getting comfortable with the idea of surrounding yourself with people that are in a position where you would like to be. Mm-hmm. Or like you said too, just being around a bunch of people that like you deem as being successful, because it encourages you to actually step outside of your comfort zone. It encourages mm-hmm. you to try to actually like work into like being in that life that you want to be in, because it can be hard yeah. to take those initial steps, especially like mm-hmm. earlier on when you, maybe like we talked about earlier too, you lack the confidence or you mm-hmm. lack the self-belief or the self-worth.
Oh yeah.
But then like, it was good that you started asking yourself those questions, right? Like,
yes.
You've been with
yes.
me for half a decade. Why are you still here?
And I was still here because it was like they didn't even need me at that point, because like they got the results, but they're like, I love everything you stand for. I love the way you're passionate. And passion was always something that was always brought up, because
yeah,
we see a lot of trainers, especially in the gym. Like if you see me train somebody in person, I'm like inside of them. Like I try to mold them around, like everything, like make sure you're here, make sure you feel this, make sure you feel that. And I see trainers just sitting in a corner, half falling asleep, and I'm like, no, that's your client sees that, man. Your client sees that, so you can't be doing that. So I feel like that really also helped with that, because I was so involved with my clients.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great though, because I feel like you need to be very invested in them. And I mean, that session yes. is pretty pinnacle in their progress, right? If you're attentive, if you're alert, if you're giving them good feedback, and if you're actually present, it ties into the whole experience too.
Of course.
They're way more likely to want to come back and to keep working with you if you're exactly. more present, and if you're not like laying against the wall, arms are crossed, and you're just like, this hour needs to be done now.
Yeah, yeah. Can't wait to go home, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is cool. So for yourself, we're talking about a lot of the belief and limitations and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So for yourself, do you feel, and this might be, you know, a bit of a personal question.
No worries.
Do you feel like some of your limiting beliefs or your self-worth issues were tied into like childhood related stuff or tied into your past at all?
So maybe a little bit. There's been a lot of ups and downs in my life. Like I moved to Canada when I was 12. Left my parents called me. It was,
where'd you move from? Sorry,
from Romania. Yeah, so okay. I moved to, when I was 12 years old, I moved from Romania here. Like basically, I finished school. It was like, I don't know, like June, and my mom called me. It's like, yeah, we're bringing you to Canada, and then I had to pack my bags. And 2 weeks, I left the country, like just out of nowhere. I didn't even tell my friends or anything. So I just kind of like just left everything behind, and I just moved here. And it was a very, very different life. A very different life. Like just figuring out, how do I even open a locker? I've never seen a locker before like that. Like, you know, the high school twisting.
Yeah,
I've never even seen something like that before. So it was a lot of challenge that came, just like the stupid things, the little things, the learning. Mm-hmm. And then my English was good. Like I had, because I knew English before. I watched Dragon Ball Z since I was 2 years old. yeah. So it's just like I learned English watching stuff like that, right? So because it was English and dubbed in Romanian, so I would listen and be like, oh, okay, that's what that means. But then I really struggled with also with like speaking and like this. If I were to do this 8 years ago, there's no fucking way I would have done this. Like this, there's absolutely no way.
You're crushing it today. So
yeah. So if it was me 8 years ago, so it was about, for me, it was about just putting myself out there more and being comfortable with being uncomfortable. That was the biggest thing for me. I was very comfortable. So like we talked about being, everyone's very comfortable these days, but you need to get to the point where you're comfortable with the uncomfortable. And the only way to do that is to put yourself out there more. So when I started Good Life, when I was first training, I was listening to a video of myself recording that I had to a client, and I was listening to me speak, and I was like, how the hell did anyone understand me? But because I started working a Good Life, within a few years of training and speaking and speaking and speaking and just nonstop, I started presenting even. I was started becoming one of the coaches at Good Life that was doing presentations now. That's what really built that confidence in myself, because I was a quiet kid. I was a very shy, quiet kid growing up, especially when I came to Canada. I just sat in my corner, didn't bother anyone, didn't F with anyone, didn't do anything, just sat there.
Yeah.
But then that also kind of kept me too sheltered from being able to express what I truly feel. And then that's after I became a trainer, then I started like, oh, this is not too bad. This is okay. Let me do it again. Oh, okay, this is still pretty good. Let me do it again. And I'll do it again and do it again. But you gotta also be okay with sucking at things in the beginning. And a lot of people don't allow themselves the chance to be students again of whatever they're doing, because they're like, oh, I'm good with everything. But it's just like, yeah, but you weren't born sprinting. You learn how to sprint outside, you learn how to run outside, you weren't born with that ability, right? So being able to really allow yourself to suck at something in the beginning is also a huge thing towards becoming the person that you want to become.
I'd agree with that for sure. I think a lot of people don't embrace the suckage enough, and like it's like, you know, when you're doing anything new, you have to just realize there's going to be like such a learning process, and there's going to be like a skill component to literally anything. And I think it's super important to like do things that you're not comfortable with doing, and that really resonates with me too, because I myself was a very reserved, anxious kid. Like I really kept to myself. I had friends, but I was really quiet. I used to be like super introverted, and I'm air quoting this for people that are listening, because I think introversion, extroversion is all something that's in our mind. But I do think, you know, I was an introverted child, right? Like I just kept to myself. I didn't do anything. So I, like yourself, started getting used to presenting myself more through coaching. I actually worked a lot of jobs in like the restaurant industry and like service, because you have to talk.
Yes.
You have to talk to people. You have to learn how to converse. You have to learn how to be more social. And I think that's really important, especially with what we do now, where a huge part of our job is communication. And it's like you mentioned before too, if you are constantly stumbling on words, or you're constantly like reiterating things, or you're regurgitating stuff over and over again, it's like, it's hard to actually get the information out. So I think for me too, like teaching, this podcasting, showing myself in front of a camera and just talking, that stuff has helped a lot and got me more comfortable with, like you mentioned, being uncomfortable. And that ties into something else this year. I'm actually learning guitar this year. Like last year. And I have a dream of doing an open mic night later on this year.
Nice, and, man.
But like, again, the idea of being comfortable with being uncomfortable, man, like that's not comfortable for me, being in front of an audience and playing guitar.
Yeah, no, but hey, you're putting yourself out there. Yeah,
what else can you do, right? Either
there's two options. It goes good or it goes bad, and then it is what it is. That's the only two things that can happen.
But the way that I see it is, even it going good or bad is a perception of how it went.
True. You still show up. So even if it doesn't go bad, I mean, if it doesn't go good, you still showed up there. And then next time it'll go even better.
You learn. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it.
So you mentioned something there about doing hard things and just like getting used to the idea of doing more challenging things for yourself. So for someone that battles with that, let's say someone, you know, I'm sure we've even had clients like that too, right? Where they, they come in hot off the gate and they're like, ah, I want to work out 6 times a week. I want to completely 180 flip my diet. I want to cut out everything. And I just want to be like eating, living and breathing this fitness lifestyle, but they keep stopping.
Right.
How would you advise this person to start actually doing these things that they need to be doing and getting used to the idea of doing challenging things? Because I feel like that's like a very important talking point.
Yeah, well, I have had people in the past where they're like, yeah, like you said, they come in super hot, that I want to change everything about my life. And then as soon as it starts, it becomes overwhelming. Because I usually try to stop people before they even get to that place. So when I usually talk to the people, they're like, yeah, I want to do all this. I want to do all this, but I really take a look at their life. I have to take a look at like, okay, what can your life really allow you to do? Because man, there's people out there that work, you know, 7 days a week, all the time. So it's just like, it's just giving them a little bit of confidence that even if they start a little bit slower, you can slowly build yourself up to the place that you want to be. But I always advise everyone that I talk to, I always advise them that you cannot start off the bat way too hot. Because, for example, let's say I want to pick up snowboarding, right? So I buy my first snowboard and I go to COP, I go straight into the half pipe. I'm going to eat shit. So I try to tell people exactly that, right? It's like you can't go straight into the ski jump if you've never put a ski in on your legs, right?
So start on the green run or whatever it is.
You have to start on the green run, just baby steps. And then people, when they hear that, they're like, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And then it's just being able to communicate with the people like, hey, we start slow, but maybe next week we'll get here. So really creating a path for people to see success is very huge, because a lot of people, they think like, oh yeah, I'm just going to start this in 1 week. I'm going to drop 10 pounds if I do all this and all that. But we, especially for our company, we really focus on long-term success. Like I don't even accept anyone that wants to do less than a 16-week program. Cause I have people like, oh yeah, I have a wedding in 4 weeks. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Want me to just slice your belly and just like, what am I supposed to do in 4 weeks? So
there's a different service for people. That. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different service for that. So we don't even accept people if they don't have these realistic goals. So we really focus on like longevity when it comes to results. And people, when they come into the program, especially for us, they understand that it's like, hey, listen, I can't switch everything right away. We need to make baby steps because overwhelm does come in. We've looked at all these like cases that we've had, because we've worked with a decent amount of people and we've seen the good, we've seen the bad, we've seen all of them. And usually the people that come in like really intense and they want to change a lot, coaches are like, oh yeah, let's just do all of this. Let's just throw everything in. And then people are like, whoa, what is happening right now? What are you trying to do to me, right? So just being able as a coach, being able to really show that the right path to success, not just the path to success, because you can get to success whatever success means to you, losing 20 pounds, 30 pounds, you can get there many ways, but there's the right way for that person to get there that won't make everything seem like it's going to blow up on them. So as a coach, being able to really tell, it's a little bit of psychological thing too, like being able to tell what kind of person you're working with. It's very, very important. So just, you know, just asking the right questions as a coach is so important when it comes to learning what type of person you're dealing with.
Yeah, I know. I love a lot of what you said there. And I think a big takeaway there too is it's good to have a slow burn, right? Like if we're looking at like the analogy of like a candle, for example,
yes,
you don't want to blowtorch the candle to the point where like
that's it's burning exactly hot.
But you kind of want to like let it like just slowly burn. And like within that too, like you mentioned, like slowly progressing, slowly focusing on like small habit change, actionable items on like a daily and a weekly basis, to the point where like they're able to change their life fully and not just have it be a thing where like,
yeah,
they're getting in shape in 4 weeks. Cause again, like you mentioned, like that's not going to be a fix? What are they really learning
right
over the course of that 4-week process? And it's good that you're also like, hey, you know what, if that's something you want, then like we're not going to be helping you with that.
No, 100%. 100%. Just because it's not realistic, right? Like I've done so many crash diets and stuff like that before and try to give people results really quick because that's what sells these days. We put advertisements on weight loss drugs in Canada and in North America, which is, I find that crazy. But so people really like that quick. But it's your job. It's truly your job as a coach to deter people from that and show them what sustainable results actually look like. Because yeah, everyone comes in with it like, oh yeah, 30-day challenge. Everyone is like 75 hard, 45 hard, soft, whatever, all this shit. And I'm like, no. Let's get away from that. Ed, let's just work on your habits. Let's just work on fixing your lifestyle. Let's just work on fixing your sleep and all these fundamental things that you don't have. You don't have it yet. And before focusing on all these other crazy things that you want to do. So let's work on the fundamentals. So like I said, it's your job as a coach to be able to show people that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big part of what they're hiring us for is like that personalized coaching experience. It's like somebody comes to you, and this is kind of like how I see it sometimes too. Like somebody comes to you, they don't really know what they're looking for.
Yes.
They just know that they're looking for a certain outcome.
Yes.
And you have to kind of just be like, hey, this is the package that's going to help you get there. Or this is the process that's going to help you get there. Because they come to you and they're like, they see you as a professional and they don't know what they need to do, but they just mm-hmm. know that they want a certain feeling, likely right. attached to a certain body, likely attached right. to a certain experience, right? Yeah. But you have to be like, hey, well, no, this is what you have to do to get there. But likely they've seen some sort of thing online where this person's working out 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and they're like, well, is that the only way to be successful? So I think it's important yeah. to like really figure that out from the beginning. Like, no, you could just start going like twice a week right now.
That's all it is.
And you'll see progress even just within doing that.
I see. And that's what I tell always people. It's like so many people, it's the all in or all out mentality that we have when it comes to exercise, especially people that are brand new. I've worked with many, many all in or all out mentality people. And it's fine. Like not every week you'll be able to get 100%. Not every week you'll be able to get 5 workouts in, not every week. But I always tell people that some movement, I don't care what it is, it's better than zero movement. And just people, I find coaches too sometimes really overcomplicate. Like I see it on social media all the time with teaching people exercises and people coming up with all this crazy stuff. And it's like, no, man, some people, all they need is to get off the chair, go outside, get some sun, start moving before you throw, like I said, before you throw all this crazy stuff at them, because they go with the all in or all out. And then once they burn out, it's not all in. It's the other way. It's all out. So they just drop yeah. everything behind and give up. And that's why a lot of people give up too.
Yeah. And I think like you mentioned, you see it a lot in just media, and you see it a lot, especially now, where mm-hmm. there's like this big optimization push.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And that's kind of like the ideology even of just like, you know, trying to optimize movement, but trying to optimize sleep, trying to like biohack. Right. Yeah, and I yeah. think within all this like biohacking terminology and lingo, it's causing people to kind of be paralyzed because they all of a sudden they don't know what to do. They don't know what's correct. Or yes. they'll hear like contradicting information because like a lot of these people don't have the general understanding enough to have mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. their own thought process as right. to how to interpret certain like information.
Right. They just, it is a lot of copy and paste out there too. Like, yeah, cool. You learn ideas from other people, but create your own thing as well when it comes to training. And that's why people will also come to you when you create, like, you know, creating your brand, what your brand stands for, and always trying to attract that person that could, like, is going to get attached to the brand. It's really important because, like, yeah, with social media these days, man, it's crazy, the stuff that I see online right now. It's everyone and their grandmas is a coach right now. So it's so hard to know what information is right, what things we need to do. And that becomes also very overwhelming for a client. Like I had a consultation just last week and she told me that. She's like, oh, I get some information from TikTok, Instagram, and all that stuff. And I'm like, it's good. But she's like following completely. She told me exactly where she gets the information from. And they're complete opposite ideas of each other. So I was like, you get a little bit from here, you get a little bit from here, you get from there. And you're like, what, like you said, what am I doing? What do I have to do? So that's why, going back to when you hire a coach, it's so important to really get the client to slow down, take a deep breath in. Let's analyze everything. Let's see what you truly need. And then we'll get you to your want.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a kind of a good talking point along with this too is like really getting somebody to understand their why and getting clarity on the why. Because I feel like a lot of times people don't know the true reasons that they actually want to be training, or they don't fully understand why they're actually in the gym. But if you're able to not tell them, but if you're able to get them to get clarity on what they want to accomplish and their like North Star, then the whole process becomes easier because they realize that it is a longer journey and that they're not needing to like accomplish things tomorrow. But I feel like a lot of the times people will be bouncing between thing and thing because they don't really know what they want.
No, that's true. So speaking on that a little bit, that's the same when we set up goals with clients. We go so deep into the goals, because if you come with me and telling me that I want to lose 10 pounds, I'm like, I don't care. Like I can't help you with that. So we really try to be like, okay, is the 10 pounds really what you need? And then they're like, oh, well, my back has been hurting for the last 10 years. And then they come up, oh, this has been happening for the last 10 years. And then I'm like, okay, what if we can take care of all of that in the next year? How would you feel when it come out with no more back pain, with no more this, with no more that, no more this? And then they see it's like, okay, well, yeah, cool. It's be nice to lose 10 pounds, but also be nice to get rid of my back pain, my knee pain, and actually be able to get off the couch and stuff like that. So really, like you said, it's not telling them, it's like, hey, you need to do this. It's just slowly pushing them towards the correct answer where they want to be. So it's just a little bit of from behind. You don't have to go too hard, but definitely pushing them in the right direction is huge. Because they don't know, like you said, they have no idea. They're like, oh, I want to lose some weight or I want to gain some muscle. But deep down, that's not the actual reason why they want to do that. And some they don't know, but you got to be able to show them that.
Yeah, I feel like as a coach too, it's just a matter of asking the right questions and not quickly jumping to assumptions and problem-solving mode. I feel like it's like good to ask open-ended questions to get some clarity and to get more context as to like what you mentioned, right? The true deep-rooted psychological goal or goals as to why they actually like, as to why they actually went through the whole process of booking in a consultation with you, of booking a phone call with you, or driving to meet you at the gym, right? Like it's like, well, you set time aside in your schedule to fill out an intake form, to book a call, to come drive out. Like obviously you're invested, but it's like, what are the real reasons that you're in front of me today?
Right. Yeah. You got to be able to show them that. Because they don't know. They don't know.
Oh, they don't know. So for yourself, I kind of wanted to quickly talk about this too. Because I see that you're in prep for a show.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So within all of this, how, you know, for you prepping for bodybuilding, and obviously that's going to be, that's quite time consuming, I'd imagine. How's your balancing act with everything? You know, like life with bodybuilding, with work, with everything.
Everyone talks, it's like, hey, if you want success, there's no work-life balance. But if you truly want success, but I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, there's no work-life balance, but life does matter pretty much, because if one part falls, for example, we have your health, wealth, relationship goals, right? If one of those gets behind, it will drag on to the other ones. That's my personal belief. So yeah, cool. You put all of your time into wealth, but now your relationships are failing, your health is failing, this is failing. So being able to put enough, you know, 25% here, 25% here, 25% here, being able to balance that out, I feel like it's the right way to do it. This is personally speaking. Everyone is very different. Some people, like, they need to have a perfect morning routine or else the day is off. I can just wake up and start working and I have no issue. Stuff like that, right? So this is a very personal thing. But being able to balance that, I feel like it's very, very important, and just making sure you dedicate time for all of your needs. So of course, when you're running a business has to come first, making sure everything is taken care of. Obviously, your health is super important. Your relationships need to be in check as well. And just having some personal time, it's also very important, because you want to be able to like, hey, I need to recharge. Like you said, there's extroverted people, there's introverted people. Some people just like thrive off big crowds, and like they get energetic from big crowds. Whereas myself, I can just start off a game that's a mindless game on my computer for an hour, and I'm having the best time of my life and stuff like that, right? So you have to be able to create balance. And I used to do something really bad before, I used to say yes to too many things.
Because okay, I was like, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll do that. Oh yeah, you want to change your workout all around in the next 12 minutes? I will do that for you, no problem. Just stuff like that. And then I started getting overwhelmed, and everything started slacking. So what I've been doing, and this has been kind of like in the last 6 months or so, being able to, okay, let me finish this first, and then I'll say yes to other things. So just not really overloading yourself with so many tasks, because mm-hmm. then you lose focus on all the other important ones. But yeah, with bodybuilding and stuff, like I've gotten to the point where like I have my routine set in place really well. It took me a while to figure out my routine, like what we need to do and stuff like that. Like the first thing that really helped me when it comes to getting shit done is a proper sleep schedule. That was the first thing that I had to fix, because it was all over the place. And when I was getting low sleep, my mind was all over the place. I wake up and I had no idea what the fuck was going on. Just everything was messed up. Like clients were getting forgotten about, calls were getting forgotten about. Whatever we're doing in the house gets forgotten about. So I had to fix my sleep first. And then after that, figure out a routine that really works for me. And mind you, I'm still working on a routine. Obviously, still always going to be, there's always something else that you can improve. I've always been a big procrastinator. So what I've been doing lately is just like, because the hardest thing always people don't understand is just getting started on whatever you're doing. If you have to broom 100%. The house, it's just pick up the broom. That's the hardest thing, is to grab the damn broom. And then after that, it's like, okay, let's do this. This is not bad. This is fun. So being able to just like, okay, I'm going to start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. We're starting. So being able to just like get things done, but you can't get things done when your sleep is all over the place. So I'm very, for like all my clients, I stress sleeping so much, because it's what gives you clarity. It's what you leave all the crap behind from the previous day, and you wake up with a fresh mind, so you're able to actually think clear. Because I used to be the guy that literally be out at a club till like 4:30 in the morning and have clients at like 8 a.m. I've had some low moments. I've had some low moments, okay, and stuff like that. So it's just like, yeah, wake up, like get home, sleep for 30 minutes, and I'm like, fuck, am I even sober yet? Like, what am I doing over here, man? Like, you know what I mean?
A quick nap and then go to work.
Yeah, just go to work and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is not how I'm gonna get through life, right? So it's when it goes going back to that balance thing, it's like it's you need to figure out what works best for you. Because if you're good at, you know what, for this week I'm gonna focus strictly on work, I'm gonna put horse blinders on and just fucking go to town. I can't do that. I have to have every day a little bit of my personal time. I have to have every day spend some time with Bryn, spend time on my physique, spend time with business. I have to equally give enough attention to all of them. Some weeks might be, you know, going on a date night, going to the mountains, enjoying some time, stuff like that. And then there's days that I'm like, okay, for the next 6 hours, I gotta be on the computer and do everything that I can. But you really need to find that balance. For me personally, if you're somebody that gets overwhelmed with the amount of tasks, maybe you just need to cut back on the things that you're planning on doing and just do one at a time and just slow things down a little bit. Because coming from the gym, when I was working 6 hours a day, it was a very big shift. I felt like, because, you know, online training, you wake up, you do your morning routine, you do some email checks, blah, 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 blah. You do a little bit of work, maybe post a video, maybe film something. I felt like I wasn't doing anything with my day after going from working 6 hours in the morning and then 5 to 6 hours in the evening. I was like, man, I felt like a piece of shit for a little bit, because I was like, I'm not doing anything. So it was a really big mindset change for me. It's like, okay, well, I'm not doing the same type of work. I need to figure out what works for this, because trying to put that same mindset that I had working in person into this, it's gonna crash and burn. I won't be able to do it. So it was really figuring out what works for me that really complements my lifestyle the most. That was a huge thing.
Yeah, it's like meeting yourself where you're at, considering you have had a change in your life where, you know, a lot of your work was in person, which is obviously gonna be way more time demanding. And like the day goes faster too, I find. Yes. Whereas with a lot of the online stuff, it feels like, quote unquote, less productive.
Yes. Even though you're doing so much, like you're always doing market research, you're doing this or you're doing that, But it's just like, because it's not like, you know, it's less time consuming in a way than it is to show up at a gym, drive to the gym and stuff like that, that it felt like, am I doing anything with my time? Am I just wasting my time over here? But then obviously, you know, results come in and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm in the right path.
So you mentioned some good stuff there. And that, honestly, a big part of this question was even for myself. Like, I feel like sometimes it's hard to be in that left brain focus for most of the day, like being in like a logical, strategic problem solving mode. And then trying to give myself some time where I can like allow myself to shift more to the right, where it's like creative, maybe more emotional, let myself like, you know, focus on friendships, relationships, and like other outlets. That's been something that I've been trying to work on, because it's been challenging for me to sustain a certain level of work and a certain level of tasks, but then also at the same time, like let myself shift into the right side. So that was honestly a good question for me, because I was curious, and that's something that I'm still trying to like find a good balancing act on, because something they don't talk about is just trying to have a good work-life balance, especially in like the entrepreneurial setting, where like you're doing a job where you're kind of always on the clock.
No, you are. You truly are. You have your phone on you, you're working. Right.
Yeah.
And also, it's also about setting boundaries, man. Like a lot of people, they're almost scared to set boundaries with things, with your boss, with yourself. If you're your own boss, you got to set boundaries with yourself as well. So like we cut off work at 6 p.m. I don't give a fuck what's happening. 6 p.m. I'm done. Like you can text me, unless you are at the gym and you just broke your leg doing squats. Don't bother me, because I can't help you. So just being able, and we never used to do that. Like I used to, when I first started, I used to work literally like, I've been doing program updates 30 minutes before bed and stuff like that.
Yeah, just okay,
like
okay.
I was so consumed with that. So what really helped me is like, okay, I'm working from my work hours. I have to set work hours for myself. So my work hours 9 to 6 or whatever it is. Some days a little bit different. But being able to have that set work time, it's very, very important, because then you also give time, like we're gonna try to have kids over here pretty soon. Like I'm not gonna be working all day long, so that window is gonna be cut even shorter. But what you need to be good at, you need to become more efficient with your time. That's what a lot of people have the problem is, like, and even myself, oh man, I catch myself doom scrolling on Instagram all the time. I'm like, what the fuck am I, like, why am I looking at Donald Trump shit.
Market research turns into cat videos.
That's 100%. And then I get into politics and then I get all mad and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing over here, man?
Yeah.
But being able to set those boundaries is so huge. And then the one thing that really, really, really helped me in the last 6 to 8, no, actually after coming back from Europe, so since November last year, is give myself time first thing in the morning. That was the biggest change. That was the biggest change. So wake up, do a little bit of whatever you want to do. So sometimes I skip my, because I do some breathing exercises as soon as I wake up, helps me a lot. So do whatever routine you have. Keep your phone on, do not disturb. Don't even bother with anything. Get to the gym, do your workout. I have my pre-workout snack. I, you know, spend time with my cat a little bit in the morning. So I just really take care of myself first. And I talked about this in one of my YouTube videos. It's like being able to give yourself the time first thing in the morning before you give your time to anyone else. It's such a crucial thing, especially for people that work for themselves, because we're always, as a business owner, you're always there to give. I gotta give. I was like, okay, what am I giving myself? I'm giving so much to other people. What am I giving myself? And you feel like every time you give so much to other people, you're just giving a piece of yourself, but you're never putting that piece back in. You're always just giving. So then you're going to end up empty at the end of the day. And you're like, well, but if you spend time, take care of yourself first thing in the morning, do your cardio, do your workout as soon as you wake up, come home, take a shower, have your breakfast, and then like, okay, let's get started on the day, see what happens. Because especially as a business owner, you're always like, you wake up and you're like, okay, what do I have to do today? Oh my God, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that. Oh my God. Dude. So you just nonstop, you wake up and your brain is just firing from the day. But if you allow yourself to, let me start slower. And it also helps because, especially for men, our testosterone is the highest first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Dude, the workouts that you, I don't know, if you're not a morning person, you got to get to the point where you're a morning person. Because if whoever's listening, if you don't do your workout as a guy first thing in the morning, you are missing out because you're going to have some of the best workouts of your life first thing in the morning. And it just sets you up for the day.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of great things to kind of unpack within that too. And I think the first talking point was like, I can relate because I used to be the guy that would wake up and lay in bed scrolling until I had to panically get out of bed and be like, fuck, I don't have any time to do what I need to do now. And then you're like, I guess I have to get food on the way out or not get food at all. And then all of a sudden you're stressed out, you're anxious because you're just like, I spent an hour scrolling in my bed this morning. Mm-hmm. So I actually would say similar for me, I didn't have a morning routine until probably about November.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting up and just like you're saying, first thing is I'll wake up. I will immediately journal and just like phones away. I just like use it as like maybe a stopwatch. That's it. Mm-hmm. I run through the whole process. Like I have like a thing that I run through. And then from there, it's like shower, take my greens, have a quick snack, gym. Then we're done. But like I've already like, you know, you've been up for a couple hours, but you're already done taking care of yourself. Like you said, like you're taking care of yourself as your first client. We'll air quote that, right?
Of course,
But then... Because I never used to do that. I used to be like a afternoon workout guy. Like I'd usually just like cram it in whenever I had my gap. But then like the workout goes long and then or something comes up. Let's say like you're at the tail end of your client block.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well now my workout time is either condensed or it's getting pushed back. Right. And whereas in the morning, man, like there's just minimal distractions.
That's exactly it. No one's going to get in your way. No one's going to piss you off because you're going to read somebody commented some shit on your post, throwing some shade and you're like all mad at fucking Justin because he's being an asshole or whatever.
Fuck you Justin. Know
what I mean? Fuck Justin, man. But that's what I mean, right? There's no chance for people to interfere and get in your brain so you can actually really focus because, man, I've had times where literally I'm working out. I'm like in the middle of just doing my bench press and I get a call from CRA or something and just I gotta leave now because I gotta deal with like stuff like that. It just happens, right? So being able to really do that first thing in the morning, I feel like for people that own their own business, entrepreneurs and stuff like that, it's so important to you're first and then you give pieces to other people after.
Yeah, I know. And I think a really good portion that you mentioned in that too is boundary setting. And I think people always see boundaries as bad. And I think I kind of caught myself in that for a long time too. I always thought like boundary setting as being like selfish. But that's also when I thought selfish was bad too. And then you realize that selfish is good. And I think I have to be a little bit more firm in my boundary setting with myself too. Because there will definitely be times where like I'll be home and I'll be like, okay, work's done today. Sick. Client's like, hey, having this problem. Okay, yeah, sure. What's up? And it's like, it's challenging because I know that I shouldn't be doing it, but I also have to just set that boundary and hold that boundary firm that, like you mentioned, there's no work past X time, whatever time that may be. Yeah.
Right. No. No. It's huge. It's huge.
So to quickly wrap this up. If people want to stay up to date with you and what you guys post and what you're doing, what you have in the works, how can they go about doing that?
Just shoot me a message or shoot me a follow at Rob Andre Fit or YouTube Rob Andre Fit as well. I'm Rob Andre Fit all over social media, so it's the same username everywhere. I just started my YouTube channel, so that's kind of fun. I'm starting to do some new things over there, some new fun. We'll be doing some new fun challenges this year, and try to get into that YouTube, just more long form content. Again, it's all about putting yourself out there and just doing the uncomfortable things. So we're going to be posting a lot more on there. But yeah, it's just, if you want to find more about myself and Animus Coaching, you can find me at Rob Andre Fit.
Awesome. No, thank you, man. This was really fun. It was great to chat with you, and there's some great points within this, and I'm excited to see what you guys are doing too.
Yeah. Awesome. I appreciate the invite, man. This was awesome. Good chat for sure.
Thanks again.
Thank you.